Welcome to the Catholic Sphere. Each week we have a different host and a different focus as we tackle topics important to Catholics around the globe. I'm your host this week, Debbie Cowden, and in today's episode we'll be discussing how storytelling helps parents provide the building blocks of faith for our families. My panelists today are all moms and all authors of children's books. Katie Warner is author of One Holy Marriage, The Story of Louis and Zaylee Martin, and Jack Giorgio, Future Priest. She's joining from Georgia. Adelie Hude is known for Light of Heaven, a children's book of saints, and illustrator of Our Lady of Sorrows, Devotion to Mary's Seven Sorrows for Children, and she's from Washington State. Finally, Mary O'Neill from South Carolina, alongside her husband Kevin, wrote The Catechism of the Seven Sacraments, The Holy Mass, On Earth as It Is in Heaven, and The Pocket Guide to the Stations of the Cross. Together, these moms have written and illustrated over 24 children's books. And this is part two of our discussion. Now, viewers and listeners, if you missed part one, you can go to EWTN's YouTube channel and find the Catholic Sphere episode entitled Storytelling, Building Blocks of Faith for Families, Part One. And share that link with your friends if you enjoyed the episode. And I also want to remind viewers that books from each of our authors are available at EWTN Religious Catalog. That's EWTNRC.com. And I'll tell you, as a fellow parent, they make great gifts for birthdays, baptisms, Christmas, back to school, and honestly, just because. So ladies, let's just jump right back into our conversation where we left off. So we've been discussing the power of storytelling and reading to our kids. And Katie, while we're a group of moms talking about children's books and storytelling, we have to mention that dads can and should be reading to their kids too. So tell us why.
Yeah, I cannot emphasize enough the value of the father's faith in a child's faith formation, and just the father himself. Numerous studies over decades have shown the impact of dad's faith practice on a child's and on their own future faith life. And this is just one really easy and delightful way to bring dads into faith formation without them needing to have any special theological formation or training themselves. They just get to open a good book and read. You mentioned that we have a book called Jack Giorgio, Future Priest, about a boy who loves superheroes and he wants to be one when he grows up. And he finds a real life superhero in his own home parish, thanks to his dad showing him where to look. In addition to this book highlighting the heroic nature of the Catholic priesthood, we also see this beautiful relationship unfold between the main character and his father, who encourages him to become the brave, holy, and virtuous man that God made him to be, and to look for those traits in the many holy priests throughout history that have set an example of authentic holiness and sacrifice and masculinity. Imagine the bonding moments that a child and father can have over a story like this. When my children ask my husband and I to read to them, I know they're looking not only for a good book to consume, but for a connection with us. They're wanting to cuddle and to make memories and to share conversation and to enjoy something magnificent together. So when dads hop on the edge of a couch or hop on the edge of a bed or on a couch with a good book to share with the child, the benefits go so far beyond the literary. Learning and memory and the faith and relationship are just growing on so many levels. And a child is experiencing the example from his father that really only he can give when it comes to this type of masculine spiritual leadership in the home.
How beautifully said. And if you're wondering, how can a children's book do all of these things, as like a little cardboard children's book with simple words and illustrations, I have to tell you, that just speaks to the talent and the gift that these children's authors and illustrators have. It truly is a gift. And Adelie, the benefit of reading to kids, like Katie was discussing, is not just the sharing of a story or the truth about a faith. What have you observed that parents can discover about reading to their children?
Well, I have discovered, and I know it's been true for my husband, that it really helps you to know your faith better, because yes, they are going to ask questions and you have to give them accurate and age appropriate and concise answers that they can understand. So you have to, you know, ask the Holy Spirit, rack your brain, but it forces you to know your faith better, which is a good thing, and to really be able to open up with your children, and share it with them.
And it becomes a way for you to bond over that shared faith. It's so beautiful.
Oh, definitely.
And Mary, your books have also become a way for you to bond with your children. So what have you learned about what kids can actually handle when it comes to theology and apologetics?
We've definitely learned that we don't tend to give children enough credit. I think that, you know, I have a degree in education, and I feel like when we're teaching in a school setting, we have this high level expectation to, you know, for the kids to have this like high level thinking and, you know, to master terminology and memorize historical figures and understand complex, complex concepts in math and science and history. And I think we need to maintain that same bar, if not higher, when it comes to the most important subject of all, and that's our Catholic faith. I feel like we need to stop selling our children short, and when it comes to understanding the faith, and when it comes to internalizing it. And I know that the Catholic faith has its own language, and these words that we use are specific to Catholicism. A lot of the etymology is amazing. And in our series, we purposely try to use Catholic terminology, and we were able to do this because we supported it all with the Father John Hardin Catholic Dictionary definitions in the back. And we just, it's beautiful that we can bring this higher level down to children. And often, you know, you hear people say that when you're teaching, you should really teach at like a third grade level, because that's the basic understanding for all people. And so if we can kind of hit that point, we can bring in the parents, the grandparents, the children, and everyone can learn together this beautiful faith and make it their own. I can't even count how many times that people have come to us and said that because of the way that we pair these teachings with typology, with the Old Testament being fulfilled in Christ in the New Testament, and put these teachings side by side to illuminate this understanding, people just keep coming to us and saying, you know, I've heard all of these stories before, but I've never heard it like that. And Kevin likes to point out that that so many times when we use typology to connect these events in salvation history, if we don't do it properly, Jonah just becomes Geppetto, because unless we connect him to the resurrection of Christ being that fulfillment in the resurrection, there's no purpose. And so when we explain these events side by side with the fulfillments, and we have these seemingly complex concepts, we make them understandable and memorable, and it's beautiful for the young, for the old, all together as a family. And I just know that, you know, as you work through the stages of learning and you make it your own, that's when you want to share it with others, when it becomes very personal. And so when we do this and we teach the teachings of the faith in this dynamic way, I know that children can learn it. And I know Kevin often likes to say that he doesn't think that children have as many learning disabilities as people like to think, but rather we have a teaching disorder, and we really need to teach these concepts and introduce them and just keep on bringing them to children so that they can master them and give them credit so that they can learn the faith and make it their own and bring it to the rest of the world.
Amen. And your children's books that we have at EWTNRC.com are a perfect example of how parents can help their children learn about the faith. Parents are the first educators, the primary educators of our children, and it's our responsibility, not a catechist wholly, not a teacher's responsibility, but ultimately the parents' responsibility first to teach the children about the faith. And we know that's an awesome responsibility. And these books are great tools to assist in that. And Katie, I'd love to know, because these illustrations are so beautiful, they're truly breathtaking, they're whimsical, as you've said before, how did you meet the illustrators of your books, and are they Catholic moms too?
Yeah, so honestly, this is one of the biggest blessings of my work, to get to work alongside these incredibly talented young women and artists who bring a block of Black text to life. I like to say that the Holy Spirit is obviously behind this work, one, because he somehow finds the time for me to do it, aside from motherhood and homeschooling, which take up the majority of my time, but also because he really made all of the connections between us and the publisher. We love working with Tan Books, and then all of the individual illustrators. I mentioned in a previous episode that our wildly talented art director and the illustrator of many of my books is actually a very dear friend from graduate school. Meg Whalen and I started this publishing effort together, and we really just relish the chance to create books together, hopefully for the rest of our lives, as the best kind of friend hobby. She also is a mom of two children. A couple of the other illustrators that I've worked with had seen my books and reached out to me to work with me right at the beginning of their art careers. They were admirers of my work, but honestly, I felt like I was the privileged one being able to work with them and just have their absolutely stunning artwork bring color and depth and excitement to my stories. Amy Rodriguez has illustrated four of my books now, and her bright colors and swirls and whimsy make her art the perfect kind of children's book artwork. And Leah Ballard, who just got married recently and had her first baby, worked on a saint biography with me and had such incredible character design and background design that we almost immediately came back to her with another saint biography for her to work on. And her skill is just well beyond her years of experience. I approached the amazing sacred artist and iconographer Elizabeth Salasco a couple years ago with my dream of creating a 12 Days of Christmas book. And I thought it might be a big ask, but she loved the idea, and I couldn't have been more excited to bring her artwork from my walls, because I have some of her beautiful artwork in my home, and then to have her talent be in a children's book format. And then this past year, I got to work with another artist I've admired, Adelie, who's on the show today as well. And our Christmas theme title is coming out this year. I think that'll be our 17th book in our First Faith Treasury series. And it's just a lot. I've learned a lot about how good illustrations really tell their own story. We have a book called The Tiny Seed, and the story is based off the parable of the mustard seed, with themes of growth and sharing your God-given gifts to bring God's goodness and beauty and truth to the world. But meanwhile, the pictures are telling the story of a young boy who's growing from childhood to adulthood, and you see him climbing this tree and it growing along with him, and then him proposing marriage beneath that tree, and then holding his own child beneath the tree. And it makes me tear up every time I read it. And it's just this beautiful reminder of God's caring hand guiding us through our lives. And all of that is told just in the pictures. So it's really amazing what good art can do to elevate a story and make it such a memorable experience for any of the readers who have the pleasure to hold it.
And these books will become treasures that you pass on to your children. I know my husband's really enjoying reading books to our kids that he grew up with, like the physical book, the same copy of the book. He's able to pass it all along to our children as well. And I'll tell you honestly, anytime a book comes out from Katie Warner, I know it's going to be a good one. And I am constantly amazed by how she cranks out as many gorgeous, awesome children's books, just time after time. You're amazing. A saint in the making, honestly.
It's totally the Holy Spirit.
Praise God. Praise God. And Adelie, your illustrations are absolutely gorgeous as well. So tell us about the work and the prayer that goes into creating your images for these children's books.
I also have to credit the Holy Spirit. He has been very good to me, not only in helping me to make the time, but to give me the ideas that are needed for the book, because you know, sometimes I'll have an idea that'll come to be about something that I begin every morning in prayer and every work session in prayer. But sometimes, you know, during the mass, a piece of stained glass window, or if I'm visiting somewhere like a beautiful cathedral, and I look at the carved intricate wood altar railings, stuff like that, and it's like, oh, that would do something beautiful in a children's book. So I'm grateful for all the inspirations that I get, both through prayer and from just seeing lovely sacred images that have come before me. I also look a lot at older sacred art from medieval up through the beginning of the early 20th century for inspiration.
And one of the things that I personally love about your art is that it's fresh and it's colorful. And like you mentioned, it points toward the sacred. And so I think in particular about your book, Light of Heaven, a Children's Book of Saints, which offers parents and children these traditional images of the recognizable saints like St. John Paul II, St. Kateri, St. Joan of Arc, and St. Jude, just to name a few, because there are a lot of them in the book. And you give them really impressive, detailed depictions using today's artistic styles. I wouldn't call it contemporary or modern, because I know those are artistic styles in their own right, but they're fresh. And how do you strike the balance between honoring that sacred art and bringing in your own unique style?
Like I said, I do look at quite a bit of art that's come before me, a lot of traditional Catholic art. I fell in love with the Middle Ages and up through the Art Nouveau period, Craftsman period. They touch different things in my brain. And so I try to sometimes synthesize that, but also, you know, living when I do in the 21st century, I just can't help but bring a little bit of now into it. And thankfully, praise be to God, it works together.
Amen. I couldn't agree more. Very good execution. And Mary, we've mentioned that you and your husband, Kevin, create these books together. So what message does it send to your children that you're united in sharing your faith in this unique way?
We know that statistically, when fathers practice their faith and they lead their family, that their children are more apt to continue practicing their faith into their adulthood. This is why, you know, in the first episode, I mentioned that my original prayer early on in our marriage was for Kevin to lead our family, because I knew that this was so pivotal. And by the grace of God, Kevin has truly risen to this occasion. Every day, we're just so grateful for our mission as a family, and we've learned to work together and help other families to really just dive into the faith and bring it to their domestic church. Our children, from the oldest down to the youngest, they all know how that faith is of the utmost importance for us. And Kevin always says another thing, that is, there are two things that a family can gather around, and that is the truth and forgiveness. And I think that working together as a family, this really gives us a lot of opportunities to live out both of these, because we are working so closely. For our children, I think seeing us work together and share the faith, it sends a powerful message about the importance of living out and sharing what we believe with the world and with their friends. And it totally normalizes it. You know, we're doing this on our dining room table. We're doing this while we're doing school, after school, and the conversations continue. By creating these books together as a family, I know that we're really hoping to show our children that it's important to bring Christ to the world and to use beauty to do this. And I think that our kids get really excited about the process, and they always, it's thrilling to hear them say these deep questions and contribute their own insights and thoughts. And ultimately, we just pray that through this example that we're living, that they will be inspired to boldly live their faith, all for the glory of God.
And they've had great role models for doing that. I feel like we need to have the husbands on the shows too, to get their perspective as well, because like we've said over and over, it's really important for fathers to be participating in building up that foundation of faith for children. And I've got to know, Katie, for parents of very young children, is it ever too early to start teaching them about the faith, particularly through storytelling?
I bet you can guess my answer to this. Actually, when we started publishing children's books, we actually led with board books. Read to your babies. I mean, they are soaking up all that beautiful language and the truths of what you're reading to them. And the simple but impactful artwork for that age, and all of that cuddle and bonding time with you. We actually have four board books. Board books are the very thick, you know, page, edible, right? Like, as little babies are usually chewing on their books more than they're looking at them. But we have four board books, and one of them's on the saints, one's on scripture, one's on the catechism, and one's on prayer. And what's really neat about these board books is that we purposefully made them enjoyable for adults. So we know that the littlest disciples of ours are really at the beginning of their learning journeys. And so we knew that it was the parents and adults that we were writing for who were going to be reading and rereading these same books innumerable times, because at young ages, it's really all about the repetition, right? So that we were writing for them just as much as the little ones. And we hear from parents all the time that our book of saint quotes, for example, is one of their favorites. It's called Cloud of Witnesses, a child's first book of saints, because they find themselves.
It's a good one. Right?
We've heard that parents find themselves enjoying and memorizing these words of wisdom from the saints as they're reading them over and over to their children who are busy oohing and aahing over the cute saint pictures in the book. And then our Let Us Pray board book is actually one of our best-selling books because it's just a perfect little lovely tool for teaching all of a child's first prayers. So along with those sweet, just sacred images to help them remember each prayer. And then in my own family, we actually use our board book called The Word of the Lord as the first scripture verses that we memorize together. My four-year-old this morning was actually practicing a verse from Joshua based on that book. And that's something that my children can do when they're very young because of the format that's just perfect and aimed at their age. So whether it's the simple, visually appealing artwork or the pithy but very meaningful text, your youngest children are absolutely benefiting from all of the reading that you do, from planting those seeds of faith to the language formation to the bonding that you have while you're doing it.
It's beautiful. And I must say, I love the little board books. They're perfect to bring with your family to Mass. So your children are seeing you reading out of the Missal, praying out of the hymnal, and they have their own books that they can hold as well. And that's something, like, honestly, Cloud of Witnesses has been a family favorite of ours for years and years. So thank you so much for publishing it. And Adelie, your books are obviously very beautiful too. And I love talking about how they're full of the truth and the goodness of our Catholic faith. But honestly, there are some books out there that are not so beautiful. And worse, some that contain harmful messages for our children, like we had discussed with Mary. How can parents ensure that their children, both young and older, have access to an abundance of these good and wholesome stories?
Well, you definitely want to read what your children are reading. I would, you can start with all of our wonderful publishers, the books in the RC catalog, the TAN, Sophia, OSV, and you know you're going to find good stuff in there, but still read books before they come. Even as your children are getting older, read, the little novels they're reading. And also, I would say, read together, not only to your young ones, but do family reading, with the older ones, get classic good books and share together, discuss together. That's just a wonderful way to enrich your family.
It absolutely is. And Mary, in the last few minutes of the show, it's already starting to wind down very quickly, and I'm so sad that I'm not going to have more time to talk to you today. But Mary, what advice would you offer a parent whose child perhaps has questions about the faith, like your child did at the age of 9? He was questioning the faith, and you had to respond. Or how would you help your child who perhaps seems like they're on the edge or maybe having questions?
Definitely always open up the channels of dialogue and don't be afraid to humbly say, I don't know the answer, but the church does. And let's find it together. Turn to the catechism, turn to the Bible, turn to apologists. The church does have the answer. And, early on in our faith, when we had the evangelical friends who were trying to convert us away, that's what we did. Even as adults, even as parents, we were thinking about, the options out there. And you very quickly realize there aren't any other options. The church is the true church, and it does truly have all of the answers. So I would just encourage, again, just to speak very openly and honestly and humbly to your children. And I think that goes a long way. And just realize that we should always immerse our kids in this, a beautiful, faithful environment. And I think that the women we have on the show today really show us that there's a testament to the fact that we have beautiful options, and they're Catholic and they're faithful, and we need those in our homes.
Absolutely. And for the parent who is watching or listening right now, and they might be a little bit overwhelmed with all the options out there, especially because, you know, I'm saying you've got to go to religious catalog and get this book, this book, this book, this book. There are a lot of really beautiful options out there. So, Katie, what would you suggest when it comes to picking some solid recommendations for your kids besides your own? Because we know that your books are good and we know that viewers are going to go out and get this.
Of course. You know, as you mentioned, Debbie, between the three of us, you'll already have quite a little library.
You'll be set.
Your
own, of course.
A few collector books. But, you know, basically, Adelie kind of mentioned this earlier, is that we have so many great solid Catholic publishers that are constantly coming out with amazing Catholic children's literature. I've noticed such a boom in Catholic children's literature in just the past few years. I get emails actually from aspiring Catholic authors all the time because everyone is interested in nourishing our children, the future church, with good, true, and beautiful stories. And so, you know, in addition to kind of going to the EWTN religious catalog, being able to go to kind of have these Catholic publishers. All of them have email lists. So you can join their email list and be updated about new releases that they're releasing for, especially for children's literature. And so I'll sometimes snag those or grab them during sales. And I have a closet that's just got a great stack of books and I pull them out at Easter and Christmas or sometimes just because. And we really do have this just treasury of wonderful Catholic children's literature that we can pull from now. Years ago, and one of the reasons why we got into this was that there was a lot of great catechetical content, but it wasn't all very fun, right? And sometimes, you know, the books were in black and white, which even though the illustrations might have been beautiful, may not have attracted children who are very used to seeing books in color, like a lot of the secular books that we read today. But that's changed dramatically. So, I mean, now as we know from Mary, we even have books that are full of pictures of Legos to inspire your children not only to learn, but to play as they're learning. And so there really are so many Catholic authors and publishers out there right now where there's no shortage of options. It's really a matter of, I like to think of like, what kind of conversations do I want to have with my kids? So I might go specifically looking for a book about vocations or a book that helps me be able to talk about my children's gifts and how they can use and share those with the world. And it might help you narrow down your search even within Catholic literature to say, you know, what are the lessons that I want to teach my children through a good story and start there.
Absolutely. And you can talk to your children's godparents, grandparents, aunts and uncles too about, you know, coordinating, okay, they already have this book. We would love to have this book. Godparents and grandparents and aunts and uncles love giving gifts to our children. And so the Catholic, solidly Catholic books are a great way to do that. And as you can see, there's no shortage of beautiful faith-filled and faithful options out there. Katie Warner, Adelie Hude, and Mary O'Neill, thank you truly for joining me today. And thank you for joining too. Remember, you can find our panelists' delightful, faithful children's books at EWTN Religious Catalog. That's EWTNRC.com. We'll see you next time right here on the Catholic Sphere.